and you sit for your half an hour, and you find that near the end of the sitting you have pains come up, don't sit that way. Change your posture at the start of your sitting so you don't always sit exactly the same way. Moving, every time you move when you're sitting, you're letting go of your meditation and you're becoming involved with the sensation and the dislike of the pain. And you're not meditating anymore. So if every time you sit in the same way, every time the pain comes up about the same time near the end of the sitting, then the next time you sit, don't sit exactly the same way. Try changing your posture a little bit. Sometimes it takes just moving or turning your foot, and then the circulation is there, and then you won't have that pain coming up. Sometimes it takes sitting on an extra pillow, so you sit up a little bit higher, or taking the pillow away so you sit lower. But you're never going to have any progress in your practice until you can sit without moving. What happens is your mind gets filled with aversion, and you start thinking more and more about the sensation. So now you've completely forgotten the instructions in the meditation. So when you move, you wind up stopping your meditation. You've stopped your meditation already. And then you move so that you get some relief from the sensation. Then you have to start all over again. So you want to sit in a way that's comfortable for the whole sitting, not just part of the sitting. So try experimenting a little bit. There's all kinds of hindrances that can arise during the day. There's anxiety or wanting things to be different than they are. A lot of thoughts, a lot of feelings that are uncomfortable. When you're sitting in meditation, you can have a tendency to let all of those go, but you get attacked during the day. And during the day is when you really should be doing your meditation. The sitting is the quiet time, so you can watch really deeply. But the rest of your activities, the things that you're doing during the day, are very important. You want to try to pick up your awareness and see how you're causing your own pain to arise. And let go of that. Now, this is a lot of old habitual thoughts and feelings that come up. And they're going to keep coming up until you become aware of this process and see it clearly. Psychology has to do with thinking about why things arise and what you can do when they arise with your mind. Buddhism has to do with how. How does this whole thing arise? How does your mind get caught by this tension and pain? How can you let it go? Now, the instructions in the meditation are real clear. And I say, when you're sitting and sensations arise, that you'll start thinking about them. But I'm not only talking about some sensations, I'm also talking about emotional feelings. We continually try to think our feelings away. We continually try to control our feelings with our thoughts. But this is made up of five different aggregates, five different parts. You have physical body, you have feelings, that's sensations and emotions. You have perception, you have thoughts, you have consciousness. Thoughts are one thing and feelings are something else. The more you try to think your feelings, the more you become involved with why is it there, why doesn't it leave me alone, why does this emotion keep coming back and causing me all of this pain. And then you try to think that feeling away. Because it's an unpleasant feeling. But it doesn't work. You might be able to ignore it for a little period of time or distract yourself and start doing other things, but you'll get attacked again and again until you start to learn that this process happens in the same way all the time. Now, according to dependent origination, I'm not going to go through all of that right now, but you have contact. Contact means that you have one of six sense doors, and the contact is that sense door hitting that thing, whatever it happens to be. If it's seeing, then the contact is hitting your eye, hitting the color and form. And then eye consciousness arises. Right after that contact, feeling arises. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Right after the feeling, then that's when the craving arises. That's when your urge to like it and want it to stay, hold on to it, or dislike it and want to push it away. And this is where this I like, I don't like mine starts causing all of the problems. The I like, I don't like mine causes that false belief that this is yours. This feeling is yours. The contact that occurred is yours. And you take it personally. And then, right after that, I like, I don't like mine, then there's the clinging mind, and that's the thinking mind. And that's where you really get involved in thinking that feeling and trying to control that feeling with your thoughts. And as you're not able to do it, the feeling becomes bigger and stronger. And then you think more and more about it, and you can become depressed. You can have a lot of anxiety. You can have fears coming up. You can have any variety of the different hindrances arising. And this involvement causes you to be tense, dissatisfied, disliking what's happening in the present moment. And you're the cause of this continuing because of your false belief that this feeling really is yours. This is me. This is who I am, and I don't like it. This is mine. This sensation, this emotion. And this causes more and more tension to arise in your head and in your body and in your mind. Now, the essence of Buddhism is to learn to let go of the tension and to see this whole process as clearly as possible and start seeing it as a process and not taking it personally. There's feeling, and then there's that craving. And that craving causes a lot of tightness and tension in your mind and in your body. Now, when you follow the directions, what does it say? As soon as you notice that, let it go. Now, when we take these thoughts and feelings to be ours personally, it's like taking a hot coal and putting it in your hand and then squeezing and squeezing, and it gets tighter and tighter, and it hurts more and more and more. Until you finally learn that you can't squeeze or control or fight with these thoughts and emotions. So what we're doing is relearning. We're learning how to do this in a new way, and that's what the meditation is all about. It's learning how to open up the mind. Let go of these things that keep on coming up and distracting you and causing you to get so involved and identify with all of these thoughts and feelings. How to let them go. Now, you'll notice every time you let go of tightness and tension, your mind becomes clear and calm, and your body has a sense of relief. And then you bring that mind back to your object of meditation. So even during the day, you see thoughts that are repeat thoughts, these are the ones that have the attachment in it. So if you don't catch it the first time, be patient, it'll come around again. Don't be criticizing yourself because you haven't been able to see it in the past. As soon as you recognize that this is what you're doing, then begin again. With a soft mind, opening up, relaxing, calm. And with your daily activities, you still have to come back to an object of meditation. And the object of meditation is wishing someone well. And having that feeling of well-being come out through your heart and radiating a feeling of love. That doesn't mean that these feelings are going to go away right away. You bounce back and forth for a little while because you have a strong attachment to them. And it's the wrong idea that these are yours personally. But when you learn to smile into these things, it starts to change your perspective. It starts to change your view of this feeling. And then you start to see it very clearly. When you've changed your perspective, your understanding of the process becomes bigger and stronger. And your ideas about that thought and feeling become weaker and weaker. And the tension and tightness that you cause yourself in your head, in your mind, in your body, over a period of time becomes less and less, and then finally, there's relief. it doesn't happen right away. It'd be nice if you could just do it one time and it'd stop, but the truth is, that's not the nature of this beast. Our attachments are strong. And the biggest attachment that we have is the identifying with the thoughts and feelings and taking them personally. This is who I am. This is mine. And that's a wrong view. And that view causes your mind to get more tense and more tight until you have to have some kind of release in another way. And this other kind of release is not really a release. It's just a postponing of the whole situation. You can have anger come up, and then you say things that you don't mean, and you get really caught up in the fight, in the war. And then there's a little bit of release. A little bit. Sometimes crying, getting involved in your sadness, and taking the sadness as yours personally. This gives enough release so that you can carry on with other things during the day. But there's still that basic tension and tightness that still is there. And the only way to let go of, entirely letting go of this tension, is by seeing this as a process, and it's an impersonal process. By seeing how this whole thing arises. Now, when you're sitting in meditation, let's say you start feeling restless. How does restlessness occur? What happens first? What happens right after that? What happens after that? What happens after that? The more closely you can investigate how your mind goes and grabs onto these things, the more closely you see that you're causing your own pain, and you'll be able to let it go more easily. And the biggest attachment we have is taking all of this stuff personally. That's by far the biggest. It's not particularly a strong attachment, but it is particularly persistent. It keeps coming up over and over and over again. Is it easy to let go of that? Yes. Every time you let go of the tension, you let go of the thoughts, you see the tension, relax. You've let go of that false idea that those thoughts and feelings are yours. But as soon as you let it go, you feel a little relief. You wish somebody well, and all of a sudden you're caught back in that same thought and feeling. And over again, you have to see it and relax and calm. And it gets weaker and weaker as time goes by. So it doesn't overwhelm you. So what this practice is learning how to change your perspective. Learning how to change your view that this is not a personal process, it is an impersonal process. Nobody is crazy enough to say, now I haven't had any restlessness for a long time. I haven't had any worry, I haven't had any pain, and it's time for that to come up. I need that right now. Nobody's crazy enough to do that. What's the fastest way to change your view? fastest way to change your view is to smile into these things and look at how crazy your mind is for getting caught and laugh with it. Not criticizing yourself. When you criticize yourself, you're causing more tension. And then there's more want to control. So what we're really doing with this meditation is learning how to open up our heart so that we can see when it starts to close down around things. And when it starts to close down around things, we can see the pain we cause ourselves and this identification with these thoughts and feelings. And we can begin to smile into that, laugh at ourselves for getting caught again. Slow learner. It's okay. Join the club. And relax. Continually. Relaxing. The reason that you're able to change your perspective so quickly is because when you laugh into something, you're imaging the craziness of it all and you're not taking it seriously anymore. It gives you a little space. And then instead of my worry, my anxiety, my pain, my anger, whatever it happens to be, then it's only this worry. And instead of being this huge problem, this mountain that you can't climb and you can't think your way out of, when you change your view and are able to laugh into that, you find out it's just a little bump in the road. That's the fastest and easiest way that I know of to change your view of what's happening in the present moment. Smile into it. Laugh at yourself. It's not you anyway. It's not yours. It's okay to be happy. That's something that I found in this country in particular, that people don't, they have trouble believing. It's not okay to be happy. I'm supposed to be righteously indignant. In Buddhism, there is such a thing as called wholesome desire. In Pali, they call it chanda. And wholesome desire is picturing a mind that is clear, a mind that doesn't have this unsatisfactoriness in it, this dukkha. Picturing a mind that is heading towards a time where it won't even arise anymore. Now you have to be able to have this kind of desire, or else you're going to stay stuck where you are. And this is a wholesome desire because it's not identifying, it's just pointing your mind in that direction. If you want to walk from here to across the street, you have to have that desire to walk across the street, and that's not a bad desire, it's just a desire that you have to go over there. So you're pointing your mind in a direction you want it to go. And as I was talking about this with one person, they started getting the idea, well, if you can have wholesome desire, then you can have wholesome anger. And there's no such a thing. Righteous indignation. I'm justified in being angry because of this situation. But who's justified in what? You see, with doing this meditation, what we're learning how to do is gain a sense of balance all of the time. So you can see these things more clearly. And the fastest way to be able to see these things is to have joy arise. When you laugh at how crazy you are for getting caught with this one, that brings the joy up and your mind becomes very light. And you see it as a process instead of my problem. It's only this, and it's not that big a deal. The more you try to think your problem away, the more you try to think the feelings about that away, the bigger that problem becomes. The more involved you get with, quote, the problem, the less sense of balance you have. You become very unbalanced. But when you remember that this is part of a process, and you don't ask these thoughts and feelings to come up, although you can kind of direct your mind and start thinking about them more and more as your attachment to them gets stronger, that only causes more pain, more unsatisfactoriness, more of a sense of being lost, and seeing no way out of the problem. But when you start remembering the instructions in the meditation, and they're not just for sitting, then you start to see a little bit more clearly, and you can start letting it go and relaxing. Seeing that pain coming up and realizing it isn't mine. The pain is an emotion. The pain is a feeling. It can be a sensation. It can be just a mental pain. It doesn't really matter. It's not yours. You don't ask it to come up. A physical pain. You can be walking in your house and stub your toe. Why do you have pain? Because the conditions are right for that pain to be there. Because of your past action. You just stubbed your toe 2 seconds ago, but that's in the past. What you do with it in the present dictates what happens in the future. And it's your choice. You can curse that pain, and you can walk around and be angry because that pain is there, and you better believe that pain is going to get bigger and be more intense and last for a long period of time. Or you can accept the fact that that pain is there, and it's all right for it to be there, and smile into it. Now, when you stub your toe, or kick something, or cause pain to arise in your body in one way or another, what your body is telling you is, I need love right there. I need acceptance right there, right now. And the only way you can accept things is with an open heart. The truth is, it hurts when you kick something, or when you cut yourself, or whatever you happen to be doing. The truth is, you did it, and there's pain, and it's for real. What are you going to do with that now? You want to fight it, and dislike the situation, and curse the situation, and curse yourself for causing that situation? That's your choice. You can do that. But watch how much more pain you cause yourself because of that. Or you can see that it happened. Okay, there's pain. Yes, it's an unpleasant feeling. Okay, so it's unpleasant. That's all right. And you open up and relax into that. And then you send your love into that. And you send love wherever that pain happens to be. That pain will go away very quickly. I know what it's like to stub a toe. I have a habit of doing breaking toes, actually. And it hurts. I was at a monastery in Penang in Malaysia. And the toilet was a long way from where I was sleeping. And there was no lights, and they had a habit of moving things around, so you didn't know exactly where you were walking, and you can run into things real easy. And I wound up kicking a chair. And I broke my toe. And it was bleeding. So I didn't really know it at the time. But I went to the bathroom, and I was radiating loving kindness and smiling into the sensation, allowing the sensation to be there. It's okay. By the time I went back to where I was sleeping, the pain wasn't so much. It didn't bother me so much. So I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning. I completely forgotten about the whole thing. I looked down in my foot, and there's blood all over my foot. I couldn't figure out where it came from. So I washed it off, and then I thought, oh yeah, I remember now. And the pain that day would come back occasionally, because I did break a toe. But as I put more and more love into that, the less it bothered me, and the more mental balance there was. Now, I can take that physical pain and turn it into an emotional pain. Somebody said something that I didn't like. Somebody did something that I didn't like, and it's going to cause me a lot of problems. I can resist it. I can try to control it. I can push it away as hard as I can. And that doesn't change the situation. What we have to do is see the process. See the process. I didn't ask this emotional pain to come up. I didn't ask this situation to arise. What am I going to do with it right now? Am I going to continue to be involved with it and try to control it and not like it and build all of this emotional tension until there has to be some kind of release? Or I can see it for what it is. It's just a feeling, it's just a dislike, and start relaxing into it and opening up, laughing at myself as I get caught. Mind is crazy. It loves to dwell on unwholesome, painful things, because we've had a lot of practice our whole life in doing that and trying to handle it this way. But as you keep on opening and relaxing and allowing and not trying to control, just seeing it for what it really is, then this big emotional problem isn't such a big emotional problem anymore. That doesn't mean the problem dissolves, but your involvement with it becomes less and less. Your identification with this is my problem, and I have to do something about it. This involvement causes that pain to stay bigger and bigger and cause more and more tension to arise. So what we want to do is change our view. Change the perspective. This is the first noble, the first of the Eightfold Path. Right understanding, right view, a harmonious perspective. When your mind has harmony in it, you see things very clearly. And how can you have harmony? The only way you can have harmony is by letting go of the tension and tightness. By opening up and seeing it in a different way. This is an impersonal process. And the more you relax into it and allow it to be there without trying to make it be different than it is, the more and more balance you have in your mind. And with that balance comes relief. You're letting go of all this mental tension that you're building up around it. Now, I've just talked to you about the noble truths, all four of them. There's pain. We all know that one. It's there. And what's the cause of the pain? What's the cause of it getting more and more intense? What's the cause of all of this tension that keeps arising over and over and over again and building? The identification and trying to control what's already happened in the past by now. Your over worry and concern and identification with these thoughts and feelings causes that pain to get bigger and more intense. With the meditation, you start to see things in a little bit different way. You start to change your view. You start to step back a little bit and say, this is an impersonal process. And as you do that more and more and relax the tension and tightness, eventually there is the cessation of suffering. It's not there anymore. It will just dissolve. And every time it dissolves, every time, there's more and more clarity that arises in your mind. More and more openness that arises in your mind. Your view starts to change more and more quickly the next time something similar arises. And that's what the cessation of suffering is all about. An interesting thing about the word nibbana. Nibbana means, ni means no, and bana means fire. There's no more heat. There's no more tension. Every time you let go of this identification with thoughts and feelings and open up and relax, you are experiencing nibbana. It's a worldly kind of nibbana. And when you experience that often enough, you will eventually get to a place where you get to the supermundane nibbana, which is beyond all of the suffering. It takes practice. It takes a strong desire to point your mind in a direction that you don't normally go. You start redirecting your attention, and you start directing it in the way where you can see these thoughts and feelings clearly. And you start letting go of all the tension caused by thoughts and feelings. And it doesn't matter whether it's a pleasant feeling or an unpleasant feeling or a neutral feeling. You treat them all in the same way. A pleasant feeling has unsatisfactoriness and pain in it because it doesn't last forever, and we want it to. I feel really happy right now. The boss just gave me a raise. He appreciates me very much, and I feel good about that. But that feeling will fade away. And then some unsatisfactoriness starts to arise again. Oh, but I want that old feeling back. I want to feel that satisfaction and that happiness again. But the truth is, it doesn't last. Everything is impermanent. It's impermanent, and that causes in itself, that causes unsatisfactoriness and pain to arise. What we all want is for all of the good things to be permanent and all of the bad things to be impermanent. But it doesn't work that way. The good things, the bad things, are all impersonal. They're not yours. They happen because the conditions are right. You might have been working for that pleasant thing to happen. And when it does, you feel real happy. But you're not going to stay happy forever. And that's what our mind tends to grab onto. And then when conditions change, that unsatisfactoriness really looks stronger. That pain looks much bigger now. Because you remember that pleasant feeling and you want to get it back. And then that makes you want to control more and more. And to be honest, there is no controlling. There's only opening and relaxing, allowing this impersonal process to occur in a natural way. The more you open your heart, the more you focus on that kind, loving feeling, the more acceptance there is that starts to arise in your mind. And that's acceptance of everything. I visit people in hospitals. They can have truly unacceptable things arising. Their body can be falling apart and be in a lot of pain. The more they resist the pain, the more they try to control the pain, the more pain medicine they need. One of my friends was a pilot, and he got cancer. And he went into the hospital, and he went through all of the things that are supposed to get rid of cancer. Maybe once in a while it does, I'm not real sure. And then he got out of the hospital, and they said, "Well, it's a recession. It just stopped growing. It seems to be getting smaller and going away." And it was like that for a little while, and all of a sudden it started getting bigger again. He went back into the hospital. Now, he was truly unhappy about this whole situation. He'd started practicing loving kindness with me. He started sitting in a more and more regular way. And when this unsatisfactory situation arose and he had to go back into the hospital, he was crushed. And then when I went to visit him, that was my opportunity to practice compassion. And compassion is seeing my friend, who I dearly loved, suffer. And allow him to suffer. And still love him. Now, what happened was, as I would go into the room, his mind would be very low. But my mind was open and accepting. It's all right to have these pains. I know what pain is all about. And it has to be all right. So I send him loving and kind thoughts. And his mind becomes a little bit more accepting and a little bit more accepting and a little bit more open until finally he's starting to laugh a little bit. He's starting to giggle at some of the weird things that I say and do. Then he has mental balance. Then we can discuss what's happening. Not until he has some mental balance. The doctor told him, oh, you better make out your will. You're not going to be around much longer because this thing is really growing and your body is deteriorating fast. When I went in to see him that day, he had everybody else leave the room and he, in a whisper, he told you live, you're going to die. That means we're all terminal. And it's okay to be terminal. So when he told me that, I started laughing. And I told him, well, we're all terminal, so it's okay. You have an advantage. You know a little bit more closely when your death is going to come. That's a blessing. It's not a curse. Death is not something to be afraid of. It's something to accept completely and totally, without any resistance, just like all the pains that have arisen before. When I left that day, he was brilliant. His face was absolutely glowing. Because he was learning how to let go. He was letting go of the fear and the want to keep things the way they were when he was flying the airplanes. He let go of all of that. It didn't happen right away. He still went through his ups and downs. But the more times I would come see him, the more real happiness and acceptance of his situation there was in him. If you're afraid to look at your own pain, you're afraid to live life completely. If you're trying to control and force things to be the way you want them to be all the time, you're not living in the present moment anymore. You have a mind that's tight, just like a fist, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. When we learn how to open up and accept every different thing that arises with love and acceptance, we learn how to live in the present moment. And the people that you're living with, sometimes they go through emotional pains. Sometimes they go through dislikes and they start talking and saying things that might be hurtful. If you take them that way and you take them personally, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to take somebody else's feeling and make it your own. What you need to do is just allow them the space to let go of that tension that's been building up in them and love them anyway. Open up your heart. Nothing is going to hurt your heart. Nothing. Even completely unsatisfactory things that tend to wrap around your heart and squeeze it tight can be acceptable. Thomas Merton, he was a Christian mystic that did a lot of writing. One of the things that he said in one of his books was, you don't know what acceptance is until you've been crawling in the mud and your body has got torn apart. And if that is okay, you're starting to learn about what acceptance is. And we have all this emotional mud that we get caught in. As you start to open up and relax more and more, and send love into that, and smile into that, even the worst situations become better. And that's what the meditation is for. It's not for getting some super deep tranquility and peace of mind. It is to teach us how to let go of all of these pains that arise in our daily lives. And a byproduct of that is a mind that becomes calm. And you will get into these deeper and deeper states of meditation. But we have to watch our daily activities. We have to watch what's happening when we're moving around and things are arising all the time. How do we handle these things? How do you see these things? How do you accept these things? Okay, I've been talking for a real long time. Let's share some merit. May suffering ones be suffering free and the fear-struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief, and may all beings find relief. May all beings share this merit that we've thus acquired for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness. May beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit of ours. May they long protect the Buddha's dispensation. Sah.